All right, we are beginning a new course entitled Prayer, and in it there are two study guides. The first one is entitled just simply Prayer, and I say simply and then I think, oh my goodness, there's so much to learn about prayer. So I am looking forward to finding out some things that the Holy Spirit needs to teach me about prayer, and I know that you are as well. There is a lot about prayer that that evidently, I'll just say me, okay, I'll use me tonight, that I don't understand, because I don't get all of mine answered the way that I think they're going to be answered. How about you? And that lets me know that there's some things I don't know, and when I don't know, then I have an opportunity. Well, I really have an option. I can just say, well, God must not want me to know. But that wouldn't be true. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know how to communicate with Him effectively for the good of others and for the good of ourselves. So when Jesus' disciples asked Him, teach us how to pray, He did. That lets me know. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So I know if I ask the Father to teach me by the Holy Spirit about prayer and how to pray, He will. So that's why I say I'm looking forward to our getting into this study guide together to see the things, the principles that the Lord would have us to understand. Because if we're going to talk to the Lord all the time, which is really what a prayer life is, and I want to just start by saying prayer is not a thing you do. It is a lifestyle. And if we can come to terms with that, then we can understand that it's not always about going to God and wanting something or needing something for you or for somebody else. Sometimes it is, but not all the time. Prayer is communion and communication with the Lord. And if we can establish that, then we can understand what Paul said when he said, I pray without ceasing. I never stop. And we have this religious picture of him on his knees all the time. How did he get anything else done? That isn't what he was saying at all. Now, getting on your knees is a posture that a person can assume when they're praying. It shows homage. It shows humility. But it's not about an outward position. It's about the position of our heart. Am I communicating with the Lord, not just on a daily basis, but all during the day? Am I constantly aware of His presence and His interest in my doing what He wants me to do? So I need to be hearing what He needs me to hear. And that can only come through communication. And prayer is communication. Now, there are different types of prayer, and this interests me. There's a lot in the Word about prayer, and I think that we haven't really searched the Scriptures to find out all that we need to know about it. There are appropriate times to pray appropriate things, and then there's just a complete spontaneous outcry of your heart, like the publican when he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and he smote his own chest. God heard him, but it said the publican who prayed to himself went on. You know, he heard his own prayer, but his prayer wasn't heard by the one that he thought he was praying to. So prayer's not a ritual, and it's more private, really, than it is public, although there are times when public prayer is appropriate. It's sometimes for thanksgiving. There's a prayer of praise. There's a prayer of petition when we do need something for ourselves or others. There's a prayer of intercession on behalf of another when sometimes we don't even have the words to articulate the need. Sometimes there's a compassion that comes over us for another person and you can't even get words out. There's praying in the Spirit, which is probably the most effective, not probably, it is the most effective praying that we can do, because that's when our mind's totally set aside. We don't know how to pray out of our intellect or in our mind. We do sometimes. We have understanding sometimes. But sometimes we don't. So we always want to be led by the Spirit in our prayer life. But sometimes we pray right out of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. But it's all about communicating with the Father, and we want that communication to be effective. Sometimes we talk a lot of things to God that He probably just turns away from because they're not aligned at all with His Word, so He doesn't even hear it. Like when we're complaining or murmuring or talking that kind of talk to the Father, we're not talking the Word. We're not talking the will of the Father, so He's not hearing any of that. It's pretty much like venting. I'm not saying not to be honest with the Lord, because that's the first place to start, is to be honest. And I've told Him a lot of things that I wouldn't tell anybody else. And that's all right. We're that tight, if you know what I mean. He'll listen to me and let me pour some things off and then get the right spirit about me, if you know what I mean by that. Get myself adjusted. Sometimes I have to work my way through to a clear communication from an honest, open heart. But pretense is not part of prayer. And really preparing things ahead of time is not part of prayer. It's just open communication with the Lord. But there is a right way to pray for certain things, and then there's an ineffective way, and we want to know the right way. So that's what this study guide is all about, and I'm looking forward to exploring it with you and teaching. The two anchor scriptures for our study guide come out of the New Testament. The first one is Luke 11:1, and it says, "And it came to pass that as he," and that's referring to Jesus, "was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." They're, of course, referring to John the Baptist. "Teach us to pray." And then in Ephesians 6:18, Paul writes to the Ephesians, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." So we always want to be praying in the Spirit. "And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now the theme of our study guide is that we are urged to pray always, using all types of prayer. So the first thing I want to call your attention to is that there are different types of prayers. And it would be like having a toolbox full of tools and knowing the right tool to use for a certain job. There are different types of prayers. They're like keys to the kingdom. And we have to know which key fits which situation. However, before we can pray effectively, we must know how to pray correctly. And as soon as I say the word correctly, I want to make a statement. We're not talking about legalism here. We're not talking about you have to be correct before you can talk to God. We're talking about praying the right kind of prayer, the correct prayer for a certain situation. Okay, that's what we mean by correct, effective, appropriate. Maybe that would be a better word. Don't think, well, if I can't pray correct, I don't need to pray at all. No. It's when the word correct is used here, or correctly, praying correctly, it means right. Okay? Not legalistically. Unfortunately, prayer is taken too lightly by many Christians. Also, many prayers are ineffective because the proper procedure for the various types of prayer is ignored. So there are types of prayers and there are procedures for the types of prayers. Well, we need to understand what those are, because I never was really taught about that much. How about you? So in our introduction, it says we must learn the difference between correct and incorrect praying. And again, don't let those words throw you off to a legalistic, religious, ritualistic type of thinking, because that's not at all the heart of this study guide. Just stay with me. Otherwise, we'll remain ineffective in our prayer life. Well, now I can relate to that, because I have had the Lord come on me in such a way that I could not even get words out. And I've seen a miracle happen. Well, I couldn't even talk. But I knew it was Him. And I just prayed out of my spirit in tongues, not even anything that I understood, except that I knew my heart toward this person. And I knew the will of the Lord toward this person was to heal this person. And I knew it was the Lord prompting me to do it. That was totally without my intellect involved, except that I was conscious of, you know, I had a God consciousness, a God awareness in it. I was compelled to do it. Well, that's intercession. That is pure. And I saw the thing that was impossible, even with doctors. They had said it's inoperable, it's impossible. He will die. I saw that thing turn. And y'all, here's what's so interesting about that. It was a young man that I had barely met when we were helping with a program called Young Life, a young teenage boy. And I just heard what he was diagnosed with and went into that kind of prayer. And do you know, to this day, I cannot even now tell you his name. But he's alive and well. And I know why. Because the Lord moved on me to pray for him. Then, on the other hand, I have had people that I knew very well for a long time have the same kind of situations come about, and I've prayed. And I've seen a lot of prayers answered, I'll have to say. But I've had some prayers that must have been, this word right here, ineffective. Because evidently, there was something, you know, amiss about what I prayed or what I was asking for. And it may have been my faith. Maybe I prayed right words, but my heart wasn't totally there. So I just want to start by saying this is not a disclaimer at all. It's the truth. And it's where I'm living. So I want to be totally honest about it. There are a lot of things I don't understand. And many things happen that I can't give an explanation for. And people go through many things. And I don't know why. I don't know why good things happen to bad people sometimes. It seems like sometimes bad people get all the breaks. David wrote a psalm about that. Don't you fret yourself because of evildoers. Just keep watching. Okay, because in due season, they reap what they sow. But at the time, it doesn't look like they are. You know, sometimes it looks like the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And, you know, where's the justice in that? That's why you can't change your prayer life according to the circumstances. Circumstances should not change the way we pray. Because if we pray the Word of God, that never changes. It's established forever. No circumstance affects the Word of God. So one of the problems I know with me is a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of the Word of God. At different times in my life, I know I did not know how to pray. I can give you another personal example of that. Miscarried one baby and carried one several years later. I went through the very same process that led to a miscarriage at one time. But I did not know how to pray and stand at that place in my life. I was barely saved. I really didn't know the Word that well, just a few years into the Word. But further down the road, when that same thing happened again, I knew what to speak over that child and how to pray for that child and how to pray for my own body, because I knew the Word and I knew the will of the Lord. And that child stayed put until the time for him to be delivered. His name is Jeremy. He's 31 or 2 years old now. Okay, he'll have a birthday. He'll be 32. And he's my baby. And he's here because I knew what to say. I knew how to talk to God about that situation and how to circumvent the things that the enemy was trying to do against me and the thoughts that he was putting in my mind again. So, I don't have all the answers, is what I'm telling you. But I'm also telling you at the same time that the more I learn the Word of God, the more of the Word of God I have in me, the more I know I will be effective as a prayer warrior because I will speak the word about all situations. But that means I have to know the word about all situations. All right? So there are all types of prayers. I want my prayer life to be effective. You want your prayer life to be effective. Prayer is one of the most important aspects of a believer's life. How do I know that? I know what Jesus did. I know that when he was through with the day's ministry, he very often, more than not, got alone to communicate with the Father. I know that the way he knew how to do the next thing was by what God had taught him in the secret times when it was just the two of them communicating together. I know that he said, of myself I can do nothing, but I do what I hear the Father tell me to do. That's how I judge rightly. I hear the Lord and I obey. I do what I see and I judge by what I hear. He never did anything independently of his Father. Yeah, but he was Jesus. Yeah, but he was also the Son of Man. It is said that he was tempted in all points just as we are. So he felt the same things that we did and do. And yet, he never missed the mark, not one time. How did he do that? I'm convinced that it was his communication with the Father. How did he even put down his own soul and flesh to take the cross? How did he get to the place where he said, nevertheless, not my will? Because what he was thinking was, if there's any other way to do this and still accomplish the mission, let this cup pass from me. How did he get from that place in the Garden of Gethsemane to, nevertheless, not my will but your will? Because that was his victory right there. He communicated with the Father. He asked his best friends to do the same thing, to watch and pray. And their spirit was willing, but their flesh was weak. His spirit was willing, and he had his flesh under the dominion of his spirit. And so he prayed. And that's the victory. Pray that you enter not into what? Temptation. Who said that? Jesus. All right, so we know that prayer is a key to a victorious life. It is vital. And yet, it's one of the most ignored areas of the average Christian's life. Now, not to be at all critical and not to have any judgmental spirit about us, but let's think about it just a minute. The average Christian, we might could even go back in our thinking to when that's who we were. Just starting out. Most of us started out in a church organization that taught us some religious things. Most of us, even when we were little. So when did they pray? Well, Sunday morning for sure. Because where were they? Where were we? In church. Well, who did the praying? The preacher. That was his job, right? His role. And maybe if you were a head deacon, and that's not a denominational thing, I'm just sort of telling you what the ranks I came up through. You might get to pray when you were taking up the offering. Remember that? Passing the plates up to the front and praying over the offering. So there was another prayer that was on Sunday morning. And then Wednesday night was prayer meeting. What was that about? Wasn't most of the time about praying, was it? Then there were those prayer requests. And I'm not making fun. I'm talking about the average, our average upbringing in prayer. Are there any prayer requests? What is that usually about? Two things come to mind. Either what the devil's been doing to somebody or you all week long till you can get there on Sunday morning and get some relief, or maybe Wednesday night. Or how good a person is. They've done this, and they've done this, and they've done that, and they've done that, and they have all their Sunday school badges, and they're sick, But first we list all the reasons that God ought to. Prayer doesn't change God, because His will's already established. His word's already established. But sometimes I think the way we pray sounds like we're trying to convince God to do what what we want Him to do, what we think would be right. Sometimes even what we know is right, but we don't have to convince Him. You know who has to be convinced or persuaded or in faith when we pray? We do. Well, I was never taught that. How about you? And honestly, that's pretty much our upbringing in church. Now, here's our upbringing at home. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I never liked this part, but I said it every time because that's what I was supposed to say next. If I should die before I wake. You remember saying that when you were little? That used to kind of scare me. I thought, what if I do? I pray the Lord my soul to take. Is that the way that works? I know that's a child's prayer. I'm glad I was taught to pray. What about at the table? God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. Maybe even by His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. Well, I'm glad I was taught to pray that. But I should have advanced a little bit by now and understand at least why I pray over my food to sanctify it to my body. And I thank the Lord for all things. You know, that's an understanding now that I have. So I'm not making fun of small beginnings, and please don't misunderstand my heart. But we need to grow up. Prayer warriors don't just pray on Sunday morning bowing their head with the preacher. Okay? And prayer warriors don't have to wait till Sunday morning to get relief from whatever has been, you know, harassing them all week long. And prayer warriors don't stand by and watch something happen to you without going to the Lord about it. So we want to be prayer warriors. And if we're going to do that, then we've got to understand prayer. It certainly can't be ignored. Not all prayer is the same. Therefore, we must recognize the type of prayer needed for each situation, and then we need to know how to pray accordingly. And we must pray to the right person. Well, you would think that would be a given, but some people are very confused about who to pray to. Okay? And then we must pray according to the Word of God. Now, when Jesus' disciples asked Him, "How do you pray? Teach us to pray." That's really what was said. The first thing He said was, pray this way or in this manner. He didn't say pray this prayer ritualistically and memorize all the words to it. Our Father, which was letting them know right then, because of me and in my name, you have an avenue. You have power of attorney. You have a legal entry into the presence of your Heavenly Father. Pray to the Father, He said, in my name. Well, I've had somebody ask me before when I said that, so do you mean you don't talk to Jesus when you pray? Sure I do. I talk to Jesus all the time. But when I pray the way Jesus taught disciples to pray, a prayer of petition, I petition the Father in the name of Jesus, because that's the way Jesus taught His disciples to pray. You mean you never talk to the Holy Spirit? Yes, I talk to the Holy Spirit. I thank Him all the time. He's the one who said, you know, I'm going to take on the commitment of coming to earth, living in them, in those vessels. Imagine that. Holy Spirit living in our earthen vessels. He took that commission. And not only live in them, I'm going to guide them into all truth if they'll listen to me. If they'll learn to hear on the inside instead of what's bombarding them on the outside, I'm going to lead them into not some truth. I mean, that would excite me. I'm going to lead you into some truth during your life, lady. Then come and do it. You have the open invitation. No, I will lead you into all truth if you'll listen to me. Now, that's almost more than I can comprehend. But let's be like Abraham, who staggered not at the promise of God, as magnificent and overwhelming as it was, as many as the stars are in the heaven or the sands are on the sea, of the sea, those are your descendants. Can you wrap your head around that? No, you can't. I don't even like that expression. Can you believe me, is what God said. And Abraham believed God. Well, let's be like Abraham. He said, Holy Spirit will lead you into, He is the Spirit of truth who will guide you into all truth. Well, let's let Him teach us about prayer. Because I don't have this perfected. How about you? And I don't want to spend my time getting inadequate results. I don't want to waste my time or my Heavenly Father's time with inappropriate or inaccurate or ineffective prayer. So let's learn and let's trust the Holy Spirit to teach us some things. Yes, talk to your Heavenly Father. Yes, talk to Jesus. And yes, talk to the Holy Spirit. And how about we talk some more when we come back after break? Is that my signal? All right.